Got my grandson here. Been playing some good basketball. So a whole lot of things going on. How you feeling, Gail? Fine. Is it more than 90% now? Or is it still about 90? Okay, good. Not too far from 100 then. That's good. Hey, very great things happening among us. We're going to be doing some things that commemorate the oneness of us being in that full stature of Christ. You got that mic over there. Could you read that Ephesians 4:13? It's good to Ephesians 4:13. Yeah. And just listen to these words for a second about this Ephesians, what our ultimate goal is here. This is the ultimate goal of oneness, and all the things that we've been preaching are things that help us to get to that goal. That's basically what we're talking about. The whole word wants us to be one with God again. I think Jacob mentioned a message that I preached a while back about God's going to get everything back. But what is he getting everything back in? Isn't it a oneness? It was one to begin with. Things went out. He's going to get it all back, and it's going to be one again. That's the ultimate goal. You think there's anything God can't do to bring everything back? Anything that fell, anything that went a wrong way, got distracted, went off into another place. I don't care if it's hell. God's going to get it back. He says, David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. So even in the midst of hell, Christ is going to be there. In the darkness, you have to realize that if God created darkness, then he's in it. Does that make sense? If I create darkness, he's got to be in it because he created it. So there's always a way to reach God. Now, what God wants us to do is what you're going to read right now. Go ahead and read it.
It says, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Wow. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm talking to you today about mercy and grace. Last week we spoke about grace. Will we live in the fullness of grace? I mean, this is the thing that we have to pull ourselves into. Let's avail ourselves of the grace that's present. But here's the thing. You just don't say, okay, I want grace. That's not how it works. How it works is you yielding yourself. Let me just put that in there first. I think Dan put one of his things online about the humbleness of spirit and humility. That's one of the things that you have to do. We're going to talk about mercy today. When you hear the word mercy, what sort of things does it conjure up in your mind? What do you think about when you hear the word mercy? If somebody says mercy, okay, kindness is what she says. What do you think? Even if you have to explain it a little bit, what do you think mercy is? Forgiveness is a good one. Yeah? Yeah, that's true. That's true. It is an understanding, Tim, if you understand what mercy is all about. You know, anybody else have something? There may be some. Go ahead, Terry. Uh-huh. Now, why isn't it held against you? You did something wrong. Okay, the sacrifice has been made.
When you said, what do you think mercy means? I think mercy means long suffering.
It is.
And love.
Definitely. You guys put a lot of the understanding of mercy together in the words that you said today. Mercy is something that God works a lot. If you look through the scriptures, you will find in many cases, it'll either say mercy and grace or mercies and grace. Go look it up. They always go hand in hand, it seems like. Mercy and grace, mercy and grace. Okay, we know grace is God performing the work, right? I think it's John 14 and 10. See what that says. Christ even says that the Father that's in him performs the works. I think that's what that says there. Is that it, what it says? What is it saying on that? And Father and me. Keep going. And then the next part. Uh-huh.
Believest thou not that I am the Father in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself.
Okay.
But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works.
That's what I wanted. Jesus has even given the testimony, the Father that is in me, he doeth the works. Is it going to be any different for us? You see how this works? The grace comes because the Father in you is performing the work. Now, why does he perform that work? Now, back from the very beginning, in the beginning, there was a mercy that was extended to us. You know why? Because God already knew we were going to fall. There was already going to be a fall. There was a mercy extended. And you know how we know that? There's a scripture, and I think it's in Titus. I'm only quoting part of it. It says, the kindness of God our Savior hath appeared. The kindness of God our Savior hath appeared. Well, what appeared? Jesus from the very beginning. That was the kindness of God to bring Jesus forth. This is mercy being extended. You've sinned, I made a way to get out of sin. Isn't that right, Terry? I made a way to get out. From the beginning, because of my foreknowledge, because I know all things, because all prophecy was put forth by me, because I know what I need to do, you know, I made an intercessor from the beginning, one that was going to die for you. I made a propitiation for your sin so that your sin could be taken care of, so that you can come before the throne of grace and have the sin covered or taken care of already. We can't approach the throne of grace in sin. We know that, don't we? So the way we have to get rid of that, he made a way. What would you call it? A scapegoat. Because really, under the law, they did that. Remember, these were all types and shadows. I love that ceremony where they bring the two goats up. One, they put blood. The priest would put blood on the head of each goat, you know, dip it from something else, a sheep that had already been sacrificed. But they would put it on the goat, and then they put it on another goat. One goat they would sacrifice and burn and offer, and that was the scapegoat for the sins of the people. The other one, they let go into the wilderness. They put the blood on it, kicked it out, said, go. And it went out to the wilderness. And here's the thing. The wilderness is what? World made by Satan. So it was God was showing us he was going to give us something that was going to help us even in the wilderness, even when we're tempted, even when we're out there. It was a type and shadow of the scapegoat. Well, was Christ our scapegoat? Did he take our sin when he knew no sin? That's it. Is that the mercy of God? See how God's mercy is extending already from the beginning, even when we didn't know ourselves as we know ourselves now. He did, and he extended a mercy toward us. A lot of you said the great words of things toward mercy. I want you to listen to this. I think it's Colossians 3. Just give me a moment here to find this. Listen to this. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So there's something that we've done now while he's talking. We've put off the old man with his deeds, right? Okay. Now listen to this. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Renewed in knowledge. No, there is a knowledge of the holy. God doesn't want us to have the knowledge that comes through the man of sin or our own knowledge or whatever we want to call it to try to ascend. He wants us to have the knowledge of the holy. So obviously, this is the knowledge that has come forth. And I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created it. So we know it's by God, right? This knowledge. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, for Christ is all and in all. I love that. Christ is all, and he is in all, okay? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. So do you realize you're the elect? You ever think of yourself that way? Think about this for a second. Do you ever think of yourself as the elect of God? You know how we know we're the elect? We're here. We're here getting an understanding of God. We're getting that knowledge of God, of the holy. We're here. God's mercy has placed us in a place where we can attain to the things of God, and God can take us to where he is and be one with him. You see what the whole thing is? So we're here. Every time we make ourselves present to hear the word of God, every time we hear the elders and the message online, every time we have a conference, every time, all of it, if you make yourself present there to receive these things with a pure heart, God is going to bless you. And his mercy will be extended toward you, always. The mercy will be extended toward you. This is what God wants. He wants that mercy to be extended. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, you are the elect of God, holy and beloved. Uh-oh, so there's something we have to be, huh, Ernest? We have to be holy because we want to be the beloved. Christ was called the beloved, so we should be called the beloved. Christ was holy. We should be holy in all manner of conversation, it even says. Doesn't it say that? Holy in everything as the new man, holiness and righteousness being put into our life in such a way. Remember, Christ is all and in all. So would the holiness and righteousness be available to us? Sure would be. So that's what we have to partake of. God's mercy gives us the understanding of how to do that. Okay? Now, listen to this part here. Now, this starts to list the things after the mercies. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. I always thought that was an interesting term. How many times have you read that and said, what does that mean, bowels of mercy? Well, when you start thinking about your bowels back in this day, the inward parts of a man, it was talking about the heart, the liver, you know, things like that, all these inward parts, what we call our core today, all the core things that have to work in order for our body to move, right? So bowels of mercy means that the mercy of God is inward. It's always with you because Christ is with you. It's in the all in all. And God said, my mercy is available to you to perform all things. You have to, and listen to this list of what he says here. Put on therefore as the elect of holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. And then listen to this. Kindness. So somebody said kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering, see the things that are listed after that? Forbearing one another, do we do that? Do we forbear one another or do we get offended? Do we forbear one another? Somebody makes a statement and then you, quick, anger. Remember I read the thing about the anger and the wrath. Right off the bat, do we forbear? A lot of times we don't forbear. Let's start forbearing. Don't take everything as an offense. You know, if somebody says something or does something that you don't like or whatever, think about, meditate on that for a minute. Maybe they did it from something that they did in their mind, not what they were doing to offend you. You're offended because something in you is offended at it. You get it? Forbear. Think for a second. Okay? Well, I can't stand her. Well, you go to church with her, huh? What's wrong? There's something wrong here, huh? Forbearing one another, and it also says here, forgiving one another. Whoa, wait a minute. We have to take it to the brass tacks, guys, down to the nitty-gritty. This is the foundation. This is the cornerstone of the building. This is the foundation. If we can't build on this foundation, the simple things that this is talking about that God has granted to us through mercy, then where are we going to go? I tell you where we'll end up. We'll end up in bitterness, and we'll start taking steps back into perdition. We won't be with the group and becoming one. We'll be stepping away from the group and becoming one of ourselves, separated. You don't want to do that. Here's where the mercy of God is working with you. If I was to use another word for mercy, I would say help. You know where it talks about grace to help in the time of need? You know, that's mercy. The mercy of God will meet you where your need is. It's help. It's help from the beginning. It's the things God speaks about here. It's talking about bowels of mercies, the kindness, the long-suffering, the patience. Does God have that toward us? So that means he has mercy toward us, doesn't it? How many times has God been merciful to us where we should have been shut off, cut off, whatever you want to call it? And what did God do? He forgave us. And he said to do the same thing here. Forgive one another as Christ, for what he did for us, forgave us. Forgive one another. Have mercy on people. You know what? Sometimes you can even be in a conversation or something. All of a sudden, you just want to make sure you're right. So you shut the other person down and say, no, this is this way. Have some mercy. It could be another way. Have some mercy. My way or the highway. No way. Let's have some mercy. Let's have a little mercy. I'm bringing it down to even here. Even when we are in relationship with one another, there are relationships within relationships. There are relationships of marriage among us, and then there are some of us that are not married, and we still have relationships. Isn't that true? And then we have interpersonal relationships among ourselves here in the church, right? Have mercy. Think about that. Have mercy. Entertain that thought of being merciful to one another, always. It's very easy to cut somebody off, even in thought. They don't know you cut them off because it's in your thought. You see how what I'm talking about? So let's take it back to the spiritual. Let's quit cutting one another off. I'll say this. Let's quit assassinating one another from time to time. You know how we kill people? By having offense and hatred. Didn't it say that you become a murderer of your brother if you hate him? Whoa. So God takes that pretty serious then, huh? Mercy. Have mercy. Mercy. I'm going to tell you a little story here, and you know this already. You know, there was a time when Abraham, you know, he followed the will of God. He's our great example by faith, huh? God told him to go. He went, not knowing where he was going. But God, he did something God didn't tell him to do. He took his nephew with him. God did not say in that admonition that he gave Abraham, take Lot with you. He did not say that. Abraham decided to do that. Okay? There may be an affinity between the two. Uncle and nephew really loved each other. You know, whatever. They had a special bond. But anyway, God didn't tell him to take him. But he did take him, though, didn't he? It fell out to be some problem with him from time to time because of Lot. See, this is what happens. There's consequences when you don't do it the way God says to do it. But God can make it work out to where it comes out good. You see how that works? Mercy. Here we go again. So he took Lot with him, right? There are several things that started to happen with that. I remember their herdsmen. They both progressed to the land that he went to. And, you know, Abraham had lots of sheep and cattle and stuff, and so did Lot. Lot was blessed because he was with Abraham. And but their herdsmen started having little conflicts. So Abraham, real quick, you know, it's fate. We're going to take care of this. You choose where you want to go with your and take your herd and your herdsmen, whatever, and I'll choose, and I'll let you choose first. And Lot looked around and saw the cities that were in the plain and all the grass and the nice stuff. He said, I'll take this one. Lot was influenced by his environment. Now catch what I just said. Lot was influenced by his environment. How many of us are influenced by our environment? He was influenced by what he could see. You see how that worked? Abraham always just believed faith in God. So he got the rocky places, the mountains. Guess who progressed better after the choice was made? Abraham. This is cool because that's the way God works. By his faith, Abraham said, you know what? Put me anywhere. God's going to bless me. Oh, see, that's the faith. Isn't that true? So sometimes we look at circumstances around and say, ooh, I don't know if I want to enter into that. That looks kind of rough to me. That's the very place you need to go. If that's how it works out, that's where you need to go, because God is going to bless you no matter what. Did he not bless the righteous ones in the wilderness? Yeah, the ones that believe God, he kept them. Isn't that true? I'm thinking about Joshua and Caleb mainly. Here's something you got to think about, guys. All those guys, Joshua, Caleb, and all those people that followed Moses, they were all born in Egypt. Have you stopped to think about that? They were born in Egypt. Even Moses was all born in Egypt. The fair heifer, the carnal mind, they were all born in it. Joshua, Caleb, all the people you read about, they were all born in Egypt. So by the time God delivered them and brought them out of Egypt, they were leaving what they considered their homeland. The land of Goshen is where that all started, through Joseph and everything. Their generations had been there, and now they're leaving. See, this is what you have to think. But here's the thing. God had to show them what that land was really like and what the leader of that land was like. Mercy for deliverance. Somebody said deliverance, I think. Isn't deliverance going to be part of mercy? Definitely. God will deliver you. He delivered them out of a place that they had become used to, and really they were in bondage the whole time they were there, even when they were progressing, because they forgot about God. And that was where the bondage came. And then when the Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph and put a hard task on him, then they started crying out. Isn't that true? So here's what I'm trying to teach you here. Even mercy sometimes can come through what? Tribulation. You don't understand it at the time, but God's trying to do something to get your mind right so he can deliver you. Mercy. You say, wait a minute, that was the mercy of God? Yes, it was. Raising up a Pharaoh like that, the hard taskmaster, everything. That was the mercy of God. Remember we talked last week about being turned over to be buffeted by Satan, right? Is that the mercy of God? It is, because he's doing it to get those two guys to quit blaspheming so they can be saved. So is it the mercy of God? It don't look like mercy to us though, huh? We go by what we put as an image in our mind of what mercy is. Mercy may be the opposite of what you think. The thing you need to do is say this, God, I'm with you. I'll follow you no matter what. By faith, we're going to make it. Whether it looks good or it looks bad. That's mercy. Because God's showing you something through that. So, he took Lot with him. That was the first big thing that happened. Then all of a sudden, one of the kings down in that those five cities down on the plain that Lot had chosen, they wanted to have dominion over the other kings of the other four cities. Big war, all that stuff. And when they warred, they took over the little town where Lot was at. Lot was taken prisoner with his family. So once again, another problem, right? What did Abraham do? Gathered up his herdsmen. Now remember, their herdsmen had problems before. Gathered up the herds, I think he took 300 and something with him, went and defeated all of those kings, rescued Lot and his family, put him back where he needed to be, and then went back and took it easy again. Abraham did that. He went after and saved his nephew. Mercy. And took him back to where they used to live. And so they started living again. Then what happened? Three men come and visit Abraham. Remember that? Who are they? Who are the three men that come visit Abraham? Some of them were. And what was one of them? One of them's God. God and two angels come to visit him. And they sit down, and he knows they're special. When he sees them afar, so he says, go kill the fatted calf. Let's get everything ready. Let's make a big banquet, whatever. So by the time they got there, he offered them the food and all that stuff. And then God tells him something again. You're going to have that child, you know. And then who laughs behind the curtain? Sarah laughs. If you go back and read, you'll find out that Abraham laughed too. Not at the same time. But what they say, I mean, look how old I am. There's no way I'm going to have a child in my old age. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All the reasons why not. But God had mercy. Even though she laughed, he had mercy on her. See? And so he said, why didst thou laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Mm-hmm. He said, thou didst laugh. How are you going to lie to God? Come on. He knew it before she did it. So this is the whole key. You're going to have a child. All of that's coming to pass. He tells them that. But then he says something else after he gives them all of that. He says, see those cities down there, Sodom and Gomorrah and all that down there? Ooh, their sin has come up great before me. I'm going to destroy them. Now he's sitting there talking to Abraham. I'm going to destroy them. And Abraham's thinking about, okay, Lot's there. So he says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous people there, will you spare the city? God said, okay, I will. You know why? He already knew. So when he said 50, God said, sure, I'll spare it if you can find 50. Then he goes down to 40. Then he goes down to 30 and 20. See, if you find 20 people, will you spare it? God said, oh, this man. Yeah, I'll spare it, you know. and he gets all the way down to 10. Will you find 10? If you find 10 righteous, Lord, will you spare it? He said, yeah, I'll do it. And then he goes, he disappears, you know, but the two angels remain and they go into Sodom and Gomorrah area where Lot lives, you know, the whole deal. What happens when they come into his house? I got to shorten the story a little bit. What happens? Yeah, what happens with them? Yes. So here's the thing. Now, this is manifestation here. All the men and everything in the city came and they wanted those two men. And so when you hear it preached, it's always talking about the sexual immorality of it, you know, homosexuality and all of that, because they want those two men. But if you go to the Romans 1:18, you're going to really find out what's going on. Remember when it says women with women and men with men? They wanted the knowledge they had. They wanted the things that God had given them. But in the manifestation of it, how do we see it so we know that it's sin? You see where how that works? But they wanted what they had, and they were going to try and fornicate with them to get it. You see how that worked? So this is the whole deal. So at least we understand that God is saying, this is sin that's coming up before me. Because if you stop and think about it, what caused the fall? Isn't it seeking that knowledge? Same thing, isn't it? Seeking that thing. So God says, come up as sin before me. So the two angels are there and they're telling Lot, look, at first when they go there, here's what's funny. When they first go there, Lot tells, hey, come in and stay with me and all this stuff. They kind of like refuse, like they're going to go on. Jesus did that one time with some people. They kind of refused and said, no, we got something we got to do. We're going to go over here, whatever. He just kept, oh, no, you got to stay with me and let me fix a meal for you, whatever. So he persuades them to come in with him. And that's all part of the plan, you know. And so they come in there, and then the city finds out about it, and the men come and all that stuff, and they want them. And he said, please, men of this city, please don't do this evil thing. I'll give you my daughters, is what he says, right? But the angel, it got so bad that the angel said, look, Lot, you're not reasoning with them right. They ain't going to listen to you anyway. He pulls Lot away from the door and closes the door so that they can't get to him, you know. But because Lot was lingering too much in that way. But the Lord tells him, you know what, you got to get out of the city. I'm going to destroy it. You got to get out of here. And remember, he had other sons that had daughter-in-laws and stuff like that and daughters that had husbands and whatever. But there was only two of them that actually left with him. Huh? The other ones decided to stay in the city. These are his children. You wonder why the wife looked back? She still had kids there. Wouldn't you have a temptation to look back if your kids were still in that city? We blame her so much, but the edict was this. Follow my word. It wasn't it. Do not look back. Because in looking back, it's going to bring things forward in you that'll separate you from me. That's the reason he told her not. He wanted to save her soul. That's the key, guys. Does God do that to us? Doesn't he tell us not to look back? Pressing toward the mark. Don't look backward. How does he put it in earnest? Don't look for those things that are behind. Right. Yes. Forget those. Let's look forward toward that high mark, right? God tells us the same thing. Don't look back. He that put his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the... So what do you think that typifies? Is that the type of shadow of that? Yes. Wow. We have the same thoughts in us, guys. But mercy blesses us all the time through those thoughts, Sessie. It blesses us. God knows what we think. You don't think God knows what you think? Scripture says this, he knows your thoughts when they are afar off. In other words, before they get to you, he already knows them. Has known them, always knew them. You see how this works? So you're not going to fool God, so what you have to do is throw yourself on the mercy of God, because he understands what you are, and he understands at times that you go off on different rabbit trails, and he didn't send you there. You see how this works? That's what Lot did, guys. That's why he's in a place he shouldn't be. You catch it? And so finally the angel tells, look, this place is going to be destroyed pretty quick. You're lingering, and he's probably lingering because of them kids. You know what I mean? But he had two daughters there with him and his wife. They grabbed them by their hand. He said, what are you lingering for? The angels are telling him, get out of here. And they grab him and take him out of the city because he's still messing around too long. You ever find a person that messes around too long? Have you, Ernest, have you ever worked with one that messes around too long? Let's get this stuff going and move. Angels had to grab him and move and get out there. He said, now, go up to the mountain so you'll be far away when this fire and brimstone comes. Okay? You know what Lot said? I can't do it. What? Well, I'm telling you a way of salvation, dude. Go to the mountain. I can't do it. I don't think I could get there. I don't know if it's my strength or whatever. He starts moaning about, please have mercy on me because I can't make it to the mountain. So please let me go to the nearest city. He still messes it up. But they let him do it. He goes to the nearest city, and then the fire and the brimstone comes down. You go back and read this story, you'll see that he was influenced by his environment, by his thoughts. Ceci, we shouldn't be influenced by that. We should listen to God. We should listen to his angels. Listen to the Spirit of God when he tells us to move. Abraham did and left, didn't he? This is the key. So we see Lot bring a little more trouble again, huh? Fire and brimstone comes down, burns everything up. They tell him to go. Finally, that next day, I think it is, from that city, then they decide they're going to go on to the mountain like the angel told them originally. And they make the trip up there. But that fire is still burning. Smoke is still rising up. Everybody in that valley is looking, oh, my God, what happened? God had judgment on the sin. That's what happened. And then on the way up the mountain, the wife looks back. And it's turned into what? Pillar of salt. Very important for you to understand what's actually going on. There can be strong things for you to look back at. They're not going to be as beneficial as you looking forward to the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? They may be strong in you, things that you desire even, things that you have love toward or comfort toward, but that's going to separate you from God. It's not going to be good for you. Don't look back. Look forward. God's mercy is extended to you for you to look forward and keep going in what he's trying to lead you to. He's trying to lead you to the mountaintop. Isn't that true? Because that's what he did with Lot. Now, we all know the story afterwards. Wife turned to a pillar of salt. Lot doesn't have a wife anymore. The two daughters, they're with their father, said, you know what? How is our father going to beget seed anymore toward this? So what do they do to the dad? They get him drunk. They get him drunk, and the oldest daughter lies with him that night and becomes pregnant. So she tells the younger sister, this is where you have to be careful about what people tell you, even if they're in close relationship with you. She says, you need to do it. That's what she tells her younger sister. Older sister should be given better advice than that, huh? But she tells the younger one, you need to do that too, so we can raise up seed from our father. Who told you to become God and check it out and that you're going to raise up the seed? How do you know that God wasn't going to raise seed another way? But she took it upon herself and convinced her sister. And the sister goes in the next night and lies with the father, gets him drunk, the whole deal. They both become pregnant. Guess what nations come out of them? Moab is one who was cursed for 10 generations. And who's the other nation that comes out of them? Who? No. 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 You're close in how it's spelled almost. Nope. Ammonites. Ammon. Ammon comes out of them. One nation. They both turned out to have trouble for Israel. Both of them made trouble for Israel. Both of them. Both nations. Isn't this weird how this works? Sometimes we take steps back into perdition and don't realize what we're doing and the consequences of our actions. Mercy. We have to throw ourselves on the mercy of God and let God lead us. We may think we know what we're doing. We do not know what we're doing. I'm just trying to tell you that. Well, you're going to take a thought. Yeah, I'm going to. Don't do that. Ask for the leading of the Lord. Follow the light as he is in the light. See where I'm trying to get you in this mercy thing here? God has mercy on you. He knows you're going to take other thoughts. He knows you're going to do other things. Was Lot still considered righteous after that when you read about him in the New Testament? Yes. Remember he said his righteous Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked? I think it's in Peter. You'll read about it. So God brings him out all right. But all the things that happen, it's just like kind of like with David, the things that happened with him. Huh? All those things happen, set them back some, cause them tribulation, cause them problems. But God, through his, brought him out. Isn't that cool? So that even Ruth, who's in the Moabitess line, becomes part of the seed line of Christ, even though that nation was cursed for 10 generations. Look at what God can do. Did he do it to Paul? On my way to Damascus, stopped him, the worst man against the church, and changed him into what? The greatest of apostle of them all. Mercy. See what God can do? It's a matter of whether or not you believe God. Do you have faith? Remember these things that I read that were listed here? The long suffering, the all of those things. That's all part of the mercy. Mercy is God's help to get you to follow his grace. That's what mercy is all about. He has mercy. He knows you're going to make missteps and mistakes, but he said, listen to me and we'll correct them. We'll get you going where you need to go. And by my mercy, I will overlook that. And it's not really overlooking because he has to have you do what? Forgiveness, repentance, all of that. But I will make a way for you so you can overcome it and you don't have to stay that way anymore. The mercy of God will come forth and show you a way. It will show you a way. Isn't that cool that God will do that by his mercy? His mercy always works with his grace because he knows that we're idiots sometimes. He has to do that. I'm serious. He knows it. Look, here they go again. How many times do you think he said that looking at the children of Israel? Oh, my God. Here we go again. Here we go again. Here we go again. Moses, come up on the mountain and receive the commandments. Joshua, you wait back a little ways toward the base. Let's see what happens. Moses gets the commandments, starts coming back. I said, what's all that noise out here? He says, it sounds like a party's going on, Moses. And they come down to the plain, and what are they doing? Making another god, a golden calf, saying that's what brought them out of Egypt. Can you see why God would get vexed? Do you see why Moses would get vexed? Threw the commandments down and broke them. What did that mean, Ernest? He had to go back up for what? Another 40 days and 40 nights to get the commandments again. The people vexed him. This is the thing. They were not wise in what they did, but even in that, God's mercy was extended toward them because he gave them commandments on how they should live from now on. Moses brought it down for them. Isn't this cool? You stop and think, you won't have any other gods before me. You're not supposed to. You see how this works? And so he brought them the things that would make for mercy for them, Patty, even knowing that they were going to continue to sin. You catching my drift this morning about mercy? Man, we should thank God for his mercy every day. Some of those thoughts that pass through our mind, oh God, you know them all, don't you? Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Let me pray and be faithful toward you. Let me have long suffering and patience. Let me endure something. Sometimes something comes to us and we so quick, we can't endure nothing. Okay, I'll go along with it. We're right with it. Let's endure. Let's endure a little bit. Let's use the mercy of God. Remember, we tell you all the time, whenever something comes up like that, you always have a choice. But we're so used to that flesh, we usually take that choice. Isn't that true? We'll follow that. We'll worry. We'll get upset. We'll scream. We'll cry. We'll do everything else. This is the thing. It's kind of like Lot telling the angels, oh, have mercy on me. I don't think I can make it to the mountain. Let me go to the city. Hey, God said go to the mountain. So do you think he made a way for you to be able to make it to the mountain? But your thought says, have mercy on me. Wrong mercy now, huh? That's what he wants. A weakness so that I can do what I want to do. God suffered it. Went to that city. But finally, the next day, he did have to go. But he lost a wife in the meantime. Isn't that true? Lost a wife. Had an incestuous relationship with two daughters. Wow. Listen to God, guys. Listen. It can save you from things that you might enter into the mercy of God. Does that make sense? Go back and read the story again, too. I've been telling you guys a lot of stories here lately, haven't I? They're in the Bible. If I know them, you can know them. And get out of it what God wants you to get out of it. God's mercy is great. There is so much stuff about the mercy of God and how God's mercy works in our life. But let me read a scripture to you. I read all those things about what it said it would do, the humbleness of mind. Let me read that one more time. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. What's charity? Isn't it the love? Put on that love, man. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. See what it calls love? The bond of perfectness. Gee, what's the first commandment? Love. 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 Love God. If you love God, you're less likely to do things against him. Think about that. If you love him, you're less likely to do any things that are against his will or against his word. Because you love him. It says it's the bond of perfectness. Let you know what love really is, huh? So, and then it says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. That's what you said, Jacob, huh? In one body, and be ye thankful. It's a shame sometimes we have to be told to be thankful, but he's telling us. And be ye thankful. Thankful for what? Mercy, kindness, long-suffering, forbearance, all of it. That's all part of mercy. Mercy is God's help for you to receive the grace and allow the grace to work for him to perform his work in you. Because sometimes we're hesitant to let God perform his work. You see how that works? Yeah, by his mercy, if he teaches you these things, then you will allow him to work. So that's why I was telling you before, you're just going to say, okay, give me grace. No, you're going to have to learn some forgiveness, some forbearance. Or you see how this works? Faith, obedience, all these things, so that you will be able, through the mercy he's given you, to learn those things for grace to be performed. The Father in me performs the works. Didn't we read that? Yes, that's what he does. He performs the works. We're so worried about what we have to perform, what we have to do. Let God do what he's going to do. Be faithful and let him perform the works. You'll be amazed at how it works, Patty, how it works. Let him do it. I'm finding out all the time God's work coming forth. And then it startles you sometimes. Oh, he's already done. Oh, he's already worked. Oh, he's already doing it. You know, it's already being done. Just let God do it. Follow him. And let the mercy of God instruct you on how you allow that grace to work in you. Does that make sense? Because there's a knowledge in it. Remember I read it to you? Knowledge of the holy is in the midst of that mercy. God will give it to you by his mercy for you to be able to work. Allow him to work. That's the way it does work. Does that make sense? I'm going to read one more scripture and then we're done. I think it's Hebrews 12:14, I think. Listen to this. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So if you don't follow the mercy and the grace, you'll be taking steps back. And that's that root of bitterness that will defile you. You'll start taking steps back. And you know what you go back into? Your own knowledge. I think it works this way. I think it's like this. And God's saying, you're making a mistake. I'm trying to help you here. But you take a step back. And then bitterness comes up. Why? Because it's not working out the way you thought it was. Well, it's not going to work out because it's you. Let God do it. It'll work out. Take the bitterness out. You see how it works? But when you do it, there's going to be bitterness because it's going to fail. You will fail of the grace of God. That's in the scripture, by the way. You can fail of the grace of God by going your own way, doing your own word, taking your own pleasure. You see how this works? When you start doing that, you just took out all the mercy that God had for you, doing things on your own. He wants to be merciful to you and then guide you back in the way you need to go. There's so much more about mercy we can say, but this is not the time to do it. That's going to have to be taught about mercy. Whole thing given, maybe several things about mercy. But do you understand a little bit better what mercy is all about? This is help. Grace to help in the time of need is mercy. Mercy will bring you out of so much, the mercy of God, because he's taking compassion and pity on you. That's what he's doing. They don't know what they don't even know their right hand from their left. Let me help them out here. God loves you enough to help you out. If you listen, speak the things that are of God, think the things of God, meditate on the things of God, that he'll help you. Give him a chance to do that, huh? Give him a chance for his mercy to work, because we usually don't give it a chance. Give a chance for it to work. Listen, he's speaking to you at the very time your tribulation is happening. See if you can hear that voice. See if you can hear it, because he's giving you another way out. Anybody have any questions for me about what I said today? Go ahead, Seth.
As you were preaching and talking and teaching us about mercy and grace, the thought came to my mind is mercy also... could it be, like Dan talked about, the Lord going against your will to perform the will of God?
Sure. Who went against his will when they were trying to save Lot, and Lot went against his will, didn't he? But what if you allow God to go against you, what you want? Sometimes your lust gets you in trouble. What you want is not going to be good for you. Oh, God, just give to me. I know it'll be good. Yeah, you get it, and you're going to find out that it wasn't good. Gail?
What you've been explaining today could also be when the elders originally introduced us the aspects of your soul and how they influence what you do. So like the story of Lot with his wife and his daughters, you know, were aspect of his soul. And then you think about Abraham and Sarah and his wife and the aspect of his soul. So you're giving us a further understanding of how the aspects of our soul influence whether or not we allow the mercy of God to work in our thoughts and in our life.
That's true. The aspect of our souls, was it Deuteronomy 13? It's in Deuteronomy 13 if you want to find out. Those aspects of the soul. But when we're walking in the flesh, they're unregenerated. They are unregenerated. So what does God do? He teaches us through his mercy, his grace, his knowledge, his goodness, and all of that. If we follow by the faith, the obedience, and all of that, does he not teach us how to regenerate those aspects of the soul? He teaches us, doesn't he? There's six of them. It says five in the thing there, but there's one more. My soul shall be as a weaned child. So there's six. So, and what is the number of man? Six. So this is what God is trying to show us. Can he help regenerate the aspects of your soul? Every one of them, he can help you regenerate. It's just a matter of whether or not you listen to him and take part of the mercy that he's extending to you so it can be done. Does that make sense? We want to regenerate those aspects, don't we, Ernest? Every one of them. And then they don't remain soul anymore once they're regenerated. What do they become? Spirit becomes a one. You regenerate them, those six, become a one. Wow. Isn't that powerful? But you got to partake of the mercy of God and what he's trying to show you. It is being merciful when he does that to you. He doesn't have to, but he does because he loves us. It's the love, the bond that does it. Anybody else have a question?